We're looking at Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Five books. And Numbers. So much in Numbers that we can learn. But tonight, as we conclude Leviticus, as we know, Leviticus comes from pertaining to Levi. So there's been a lot of laws that don't apply to us. But there's also been some great lessons. Probably the key verse being 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. But as it concludes, God is reminding Israel here about obedience versus disobedience. It's a great way to finish out the year, actually. So we went to in verse 19 last week and saw the second greatest commandment in the Bible. Which was, anybody remember? What's the second greatest commandment in the Bible, according to our Savior, the Word of God? Love a neighbor as thyself. Amen? Which Jesus then upgraded to love others as I've loved you. But then in 21 and 22, the priests, not to be defiled. 23, the feasts. The 24, the worship elements. 25, the laws of land and slaves. And that brings us to 26. So verse 3 is where we'll begin. We're going to do verses 3 to 45. I got 5 pages of notes. So let's see how this goes. I won't read the whole 3 to 45, but we'll make this work. So verse 3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and will make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new, and I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, I think we'll stop there. So my title, verse 12, I will walk among you. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Open our hearts to your precious and powerful word. Teach us tonight through it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of this chapter, as you will see, is a theme of the Bible. And that is that when it comes to God's program, obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings chastisement. It's a fact of Scripture. From front to back, for Israel and for Christians, obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings chastisement. This if statement in verse 3, if God says, I'm going to do all these things for you. I'm going to increase your fruit. I'm going to increase your bread. And you're going to be safe. And you're going to have peace. You're going to chase your enemies. And I will walk among you and multiply you. I will do all these things. But that's an if statement, isn't it? If ye walk, keep, and do. If you will walk, keep, and do, then I'll do all these amazing things. Obedience always in Scripture brings God's blessings. Let's just quickly review some of the things that obedience brings. I'll try to do these in scriptural order. So Joshua 1:8, most of you don't even know, have to turn there, right? You know it by heart. But it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. There's the key word. To do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The world's looking for success. One of the keys to success in God's program is obedience. Then Psalm 111:10, let's look at another one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So another blessing of obedience is knowledge. Jesus said that himself in John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So success and knowledge. Proverbs 29:18. Let's look at another one. These are scriptural blessings promised upon the obedient. Proverbs 29:18. Where there was no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So happiness. All these things the world's looking for. Success, knowledge, happiness. God says they hinge on obedience. Obedience. Let's see. Scripture order. Proverbs 29:18. Oh, I just did that one, didn't I? Sorry. Where are we now? New Testament. John 15:14. John 15:14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So even our friendship with our Savior, we all want to be his friend. We are all his children, but are we all his friend? Well, Jesus said it hinges upon obedience. If you do whatsoever I command you. Let's see. James 1:25 would be next. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So blessings. And then the last one, 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So as you can see, it's an Old Testament theme. It's a New Testament theme. Obedience brings blessings. Just the verses we've looked at, which is just a sampling, it brings success, friendship with Jesus, happiness, knowledge, confidence of answered prayer. All of these things, God says, are contingent upon one thing, obedience. And God is saying to Israel, if you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, look what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to pour all these blessings out upon you, as he says in verse 12, and I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Amen. Of course, he reminds them there in verse 13, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt. I rescued you from bondage. Now serve me. When we get to the end of Deuteronomy, Moses gave a similar charge at the end of Deuteronomy. Blessings for obedience, cursings for disobedience. So that's the first part of this chapter, is this promise of God that if they will obey, God will bless them in every possible way. Their fruit, their bread, their safety, their peace, their enemies, his presence, all of that will be blessed, he says, if you will obey. But then we get to verse 14. And he says, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do these commandments. Sadly, there's usually a but, isn't there? And there is in this case. God says in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Isaiah 63:10, they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Just like obedience brings blessings is a theme of the Bible, disobedience brings chastisement is a theme of the Bible. But this is a much longer passage, which we haven't read yet, but let's look at it. So verse 15, if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Verse 16, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning ague, and that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. That doesn't sound too good, does it? You would think after this, Israel would have said, wow, we better obey. But they didn't. As soon as they got into the promised land, it was just disobedience, disobedience. And God had to start pouring these things out. But you know what's amazing is what we see in the rest of this chapter, and that's the mercy of God. Because God then, three times, says, I'll give you another chance. Look at it, verse 18. And if you will not yet hearken. In other words, if those things, if the things I just mentioned, terror and consumption and being slain before you, if that's not enough, if you still won't repent, it's going to get worse. I'm going to punish you seven times more. And what will I give you? Verse 21, I will bring seven times more plagues. Verse 22, I will also send wild beasts. So then we get to verse 23, the second time. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things. So I've already sent the terror and the consumption and being slain before your enemies. If you won't repent because of that, now I'm going to send plagues and wild beasts. If you won't repent because of that, verse 25, I will send pestilence. And then verse 26, ye shall eat and not be satisfied. Then the third time, verse 27, and if you will not for all this hearken unto me, third time, now it gets really bad. Verse 27, 28, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. I will chastise you seven times for your sins. Look how bad it gets. Verse 29, you shall eat the flesh of your sons. That actually happened. The Old Testament. I will destroy your high places, cut down your images, cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. My soul shall abhor you, verse 31, and I will make your cities waste. That happened. And bring your sanctuaries into desolation. That happened. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation. That happened. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And verse 33, look how prophetic this is. And I will scatter you among the heathen. But I'm going to give you three chances. And Israel didn't take any of them, did they? And they went right to they kept pushing God and went right to this final one, verse 33. I will scatter you among the heathen. How prophetic is that? Zechariah 7:14, turn there quickly and we'll see. So Zechariah, of course, at the very end of the Old Testament. God here recounting what he's done to Israel. Look what he says, Zechariah 7:14, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Huh. Does that sound like Leviticus 26 or what? God says, I did exactly what I said I would do if Israel would not obey my commandments. And here we are, 2,500 years after Zechariah was written, and they're still scattered among the nations. It hasn't ended because James, right? The book of James, when he wrote his book, you know who he wrote it to? Verse 1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. They're still scattered. All because they wouldn't obey. Thankfully, there's a verse 40, so let's jump there. See, I can get through five pages. So this theme is all through the Bible, but this is the first time that God has laid it out this clearly. for Israel. Obey, blessings, disobey, cursings, chastisement, scattered, plagues, killed. All that happened. Aren't you thankful for verse 40? If they shall confess. Amen? Aren't you thankful that you and I, as God's children, are not under that program of Leviticus 26? We live in the age of grace, hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't chastise his children. He promised that he would, and he does. But you and I have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And when we do sin, we just need to confess. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Israel, he said, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me. Maybe you've never noticed this before, but when Ezra and Nehemiah came back, Ezra to rebuild the temple, Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, in both cases it started with confession. They both confessed the sins of Israel and begged God for his forgiveness when they headed out on their mission to see Jerusalem partially restored. Because they knew the scriptures. If they shall confess, if they will confess, most people know 2 Chronicles 7:14. A lot of people call it the revival verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, it hasn't happened for Israel. Their land has not been healed. And why? Disobedience. It always comes down to disobedience. But for you and I, the Bible makes it very clear, it's the same. When we sin, if God has to chastise us, what's the solution? It's always confession. It's always to say, I was wrong, Lord. Please forgive me. David understood this, didn't he? I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. I said I will confess my sin to the Lord, and I forgave us the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are all about David confessing. Proverbs 28:13, whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. Look at Isaiah 55:6. God's always been merciful, but always just and always loving. Chastisement is part of love. We know this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, the Bible says. But notice Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the God that we serve, hallelujah. A God that abundantly pardons. And he says there in verse 40, if they shall confess, and then verse 41, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity. When David confessed in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, never once did he try to defend himself or justify what he had done. It was always, I was wrong. And I sinned against you, Lord. Please forgive me. And that's what God is saying. That they will accept that they deserved what they got, essentially. And when God chastises us, our response needs to be, I deserve that. Amen? That's true humility. Lord, thank you for the chastisement. I needed it. You know, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Many times we're told to humble ourselves before the Lord. And then, of course, he says there in verse 42, then will I remember my covenant. This is also prophetic. By the end of the tribulation, when two-thirds of the Jews have been killed during the tribulation period, the remaining Jews, when Jesus returns, will finally say, we missed it the first time, but this is the Messiah. And we accept him as our King, as our Messiah, and he will come and he will set up his kingdom. And the covenant will be fulfilled, amen, that they've been waiting for so long. What did they ask Jesus right before he ascended to heaven? They didn't say, Lord, what are our marching orders? They didn't say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Lord, why are you leaving? No, they said, Lord, what about the kingdom? It's always been about a kingdom with Israel. And the kingdom will come, but it's still in the future. So verse 44, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly. Now you've heard me say this before, but you know one of the greatest proofs of God's word, and there's many of them, is Israel. Honestly. That they're still here. You think about all the kings and leaders that have tried to wipe them out. Hitler, of course, the obvious one. Nero, many times. And so everybody hates Jews. It's just the way it's always worked. And yet they're still here. I mean, think about it. How long Israel's been around as a nation. You know, they were at their peak about 1000 BC under Solomon. So that's 3,000 years ago. That's a long time. Has anybody ever met a Hittite or a Jebusite or a Canaanite or a, we could go on and on, all those ites that got wiped out of the promised land? They're gone. But have you ever heard of a German Jew or a Swiss Jew or an American Jew or a Kiwi Jew? Yeah. They might be scattered, but they're still Jews. Isn't that amazing? And when all this happened in Israel recently, what happened? They just flew back in droves, didn't they, to fight? Because they're Jews. And they knew they were taking their life in their hands by going back to fight, but they're Jews. Yeah, they might not even speak Hebrew anymore, but they're Jews. And they went back to Israel in droves, free flights on Israel's airline, taking them back by the thousands to fight for Israel. Isn't that something? They're still Jews. And so all this, for 3,000 years, man and the devil have tried to wipe them out, and they're still here. You know why? Because God said they would always still be here, just like he says here. I'm going to cast them, I'm going to punish them, I'm going to punish them, I'm going to punish them, but I will never destroy them utterly. How many times did we read when we went through Isaiah, when we went through Jeremiah, when we went through Daniel, through Malachi, that God said there would always be a remnant? And there, here we are, 2023, and there's still a remnant. What great proof of the scriptures. Look at Romans 11:2, and we'll see Paul talking about it. And what we can learn for our own practical application is, for you and I, we may have to go through chastisement, but we are secure in Jesus. Just like God said he would never destroy Israel utterly, if you're a Christian, you are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know this. And you may have to go through some intense chastisement, but that's not punishment for your sin. That's God lovingly correcting you. But you're still going to heaven. Amen. Romans 11:2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, and so forth. This is Paul writing 2,000 years ago, after Israel's 1,000 year before peak under Solomon, saying, God hath not cast away his people, and he never will. He will punish them, and he has been punishing them for a very long time. And the punishment only gets worse after the rapture. But he will never completely destroy them. And there will be a remnant that will be allowed to go into the kingdom, the Jewish kingdom, that you and I get to have a part in. And then he says in verse 45 to finish out our chapter, but I will, for their sakes, Remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. You see that in the sight of the heathen? That's called testimony. He created Israel to be a testimony. He rescued them from Egypt to be a testimony. He gave them laws so that they would be a testimony. He led them by a cloud and by fire, as we will see when we go through the book of Numbers. He wanted them to be a testimony of what happens when a nation's God is the Lord. But they did not fulfill that mission and had to be chastised. So God says, I will, our title there in verse 12, I will walk among you. In other words, I'll give you my presence, but it's conditional. It's the same for you and me, isn't it? We're told to be filled with the Spirit. We're told to be led by the Spirit of God. We're told to be close to God, but that is conditional upon us, our obedience. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Spirit, not be led by the Spirit. We still have the Spirit, but that doesn't mean He's leading us. Doesn't mean He's controlling us. Doesn't mean we're filled with Him. That's contingent upon pretty much one thing, obedience. So what a great lesson to finish out Leviticus, God giving this first major warning to Israel. They haven't gotten to the promised land yet. They're still at Mount Sinai, getting the laws from the Lord. He's laying everything out, laying out all the rules and regulations about the priesthood and everything else. But he says, here's the situation. I'm going to give you all these commandments. Obey them. And if you'll obey them, here's how I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless everything. But if you disobey them, this is what's going to happen. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse until I scatter you, until I kick you out of the promised land. And it's not yours during that rest of that time. Think about how much land they owned under Solomon and how much land they own now. How sad. That all came down to one thing, disobedience. So really, we only need one New Year's resolution, don't we? I'm going to obey. If we did that one thing, just think what would happen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and powerful and beautiful word. Thank you for how clear this warning was to Israel. And Lord, how it came to pass exactly as you prophesied. And Lord, how it carries over to your children, us, that you love us, that you want what's best for us. And if what we need is chastisement for disobedience, that's what you will give us. But Lord, may we strive to be obedient children as we are commanded to be there in 1 Peter. Obedient children. Especially this new year coming, Lord, may we set out to obey your commandments in everything. Lord, and we know the result, blessings.